It's rained a lot and has been rather cold in LA this week, but at least I've been here to see it. A lot of thoughts this week, every week. People tell me that I think too much and exhaust them, which is a fair point. I do feel, however, that self-reflection ultimately leads to truth, complex as it may sometimes be, and that truth ultimately sets you free and allows you to live in peace. But what the fuck do I know? Oh, you swore. That's big. It's my unconventional life. Profound. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is my unconventional life. It's a podcast and it's a journal, and in a way it's an examination of what happened when I tried to love and be a parent outside of society's norms. But most of all, hopefully it's an honest, unapologetic and insightful journey into my genuine desire to be my most authentic, peaceful and positive self in the world. Sponsored by no one. Every week I detail my own journey as a parenting partner, as a lover, and as a friend. And occasionally discuss my untraditional views and aspirations with other people too. But ultimately, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in the world today? Aries been feeling depressed on and off for no apparent reason this week. Well, I say no apparent reason. The rain and grey skies are certainly a part of it. So is being 7 months pregnant. It's draining both physically and emotionally. And I'm not worried about it. I've had some mood swings too. I just think it's natural. It does seem that depression is an integral part of the human condition, though. Certainly in the post-agricultural, westernized world of affluence. It is an interesting idea, though, whether as a species, as a whole, we're getting generally happier and leading more peaceful, rewarding lives. And if we're not, what's the fucking point? Ooh, I swore again. I chatted with a good friend's mum this week, after hearing that after listening to my podcast, she'd decided to get divorced. I was pretty certain it wasn't as directly related as that sentence makes it sound, and I was right. I wasn't going to inspire someone to do something that deep down they weren't thinking about anyway. It was just that a lot of the ideas made sense to her. Even if she has no desire to be polyamorous, in fact, she seemed perfectly happy being non-sexual for the rest of her life. And I've heard that same story from a lot of women that I've known post-menopause, that they want their space. They may stay married, but the notion of romance till we die? Not really. In this instance, she simply realized that she wasn't happy trying to make someone else happy, and recognized it as something inside herself that she'd done a lot of her life, and then that led to resentment of them and as much herself. I don't know, my heart just aches at it. Why does it seem that everyone is so broken that we need to feel that eternal, unconditional love just for us, from just one person? It's so Freudian, like we're looking for the love that we had or desired as children from our parents, that it's in some way an infantilized love, because it's not unconditional. It takes away our autonomy or responsibility for our own happiness and is actually totally contingent on our happiness. I'm nearly finished reading Darren Brown's book on happiness. It largely rallies against the modern notion of positive thinking will bring you anything, and instead encourages a more realistic yet still proactive mindset. And I want to quote his 5 suggestions for leading a happier, more fulfilling life. 1. If you have something to come out about, come out. If you carry a secret around with you, you learn to protect it in all sorts of ways that disconnect you from the rest of the world and the people in it. Meanwhile, the idea of your secret being discovered will come to fill you with horror. The huge deal you've turned it into is not a reflection of how big a deal it is in the eyes of other people. To them, it's just some information about you. Generally speaking, they don't care. They're far more likely to care if you're happy, and they'll certainly care if you're obviously hiding something, and it will be obvious. They're unlikely to care about the thing itself if it doesn't affect them. They don't think about you and what you get up to as much as you think they do. And when you come out, the bubble you've built around you bursts, and life suddenly becomes so much more delightful. It's like you've put down a heavy bag of rocks. You also realize that everyone else has his or her heavy bag of rocks too. And you gain a much healthier perspective regarding how much people care about what you get up to. 2. You'll never regret falling in love. Do so over and over again. Lower your standards if necessary. It might lead to heartbreak now and then, but it'll always be worth it in the end. 3. If you work in a creative field and you are faced with a choice of doing a job for the money or doing a job for the fun of it, take the fun one wherever you can. You'll rarely enjoy the work you do for money. 4. Don't be a dick. People around you are not there to make your life easier. The more successful you are, the harder it is to remember that, because you inevitably get used to people looking after you. Everyone is fighting a hard battle. Everyone is just trying to do their best in the same way that you are. If you remember this, and if, as much as you can, you treat other people with compassion, you're likely to feel better and your life will be noticeably happier. You'll connect with more people, and that's where good things and opportunities come from. Open-heartedness feels good and is conducive to good things happening. Irritation with other people and the world only closes them off. People don't need to agree with you or see your viewpoint. We want people to agree with us because we are understandably threatened by a view of the world that contradicts ours. When they agree with us or reflect our views, our own identity is reinforced. Growing up means tolerating different viewpoints and realizing that you are not, like a baby screaming for its mother, the sole dictator of what's right and wrong. There is rarely a right and wrong. Most times, there's just a jumble of viewpoints, and it's okay to grant others the validity you grant yours and to tolerate the contradiction. Objecting to the differing viewpoints of others is a huge waste of time. 5. Look at what takes up your time and see what is worth doing and what is not. Think about what provides enjoyment, connectivity, a sense of fulfillment, and what, when you look back, will have been a waste of time or stifled you. Look for ways of removing those latter activities from your life. Not only does this offer the benefit of removing negative behaviors, it also engages you with the considered life. Suddenly, you have a vantage point from which to view your behavior, and from there, you can give your life shape and meaning. In reading these again now, like a lot of the book, in fact, I feel like I'm already ahead of the curve on a lot of things. I mean, I've done a lot of work on myself over the last 20 years, figuring out who I am and what makes me happy. And if I do think too much, as people have said, this is one of the positive outcomes. It's pretty clear to me where most of the anxiety in my life comes from right now. The book also talks about living a good life so you can die well, as he puts it, in that one leads directly to the other, all other things being equal. I found myself thinking a lot about the trajectory of life this week, seeing old people as they might have looked when they were children, and seeing children as they might look when they're old, identifying with the oneness of time ultimately, realizing that at whatever stage of the journey we're on the same path. And in the timeline of the earth, we're barely a flicker. And again, it's already all been written. I spoke to one of my peers in wrestling this week, actually, and had a discussion on determinism, and feel even more adamantly now that free will is an illusion, or rather, a paradoxical impossibility. Boy, am I losing some of you. Eri and I started watching a British show on Netflix now called Call the Midwife. And it's given me a lot of insight and perspective into the physical realities of having children. A little too much fucking perspective. I don't know, seeing the agony of childbirth was, to be honest, a little unsettling. It reminded me of a time when I was 19 years old and after 5 days of constipation, I spent 90 minutes in a truck stop bathroom outside the Grand Canyon. Which will be in my autobiography if I ever release it. I don't know. I mean, despite all my anxieties, despite the undeniable conflicts in my life right now that will ultimately have to be resolved at some point, if I'm ever to have any true peace and happiness, I have felt profound moments of it this week, perhaps somewhat inspired by the stoic undertones in Derren Brown's book too. Eri and I saw the therapist again this week. We're still in the process of trying to nail down the financial changes to the conflict using the mediator panel that we set up. But the therapist also said how we would be forced to have a 6-week hiatus from sex after the baby is born, so that would give us a forced time to think and evaluate the nature of our relationship moving forward, which sounded positive. We also talked about some of the practical considerations of raising Froggy in our partnership too. I don't know. As I record this, the sun is starting to peek through the clouds outside. I'm breathing. I'm healthy. And I have the hope and possibility of great things potentially ahead. And when I think that all of this is already written, rather than feeling depressed and impotent, as others have suggested, I feel instead a profound sense of beauty, meaning in the world. And perhaps some would say that's why I believe in it. Takes my responsibility away. But I would say the comforting nature of an idea has little to do with its conceptual truth. Yep, probably lost you again. I'll see you next week. Well, that's another week gone, and every one a blessing. Every day, every moment. So I appreciate you spending any of yours listening to this. Drop me a line to myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions, and hopefully a little joy too. But either way, until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind to yourself and to others. Perhaps the simplest way to make the world a better place.